Feeling better? No. He's feeling better. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Madhava Giri Vrdhari Gopi Jana Madhava Giri Vrdhari Gopi Jana Madhava Giri Vrdhari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamana Tira Vranachari Yamana Tira Vranachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari 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 Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivida Gacharya Sri Sri Madhus Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Text 8, Canto 8, Chapter 7 Lord Shiva saves the universe. Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Daranta Viryo Vitatabhisandhihi Kritvavapuk Kachchapam Adbhutam Mahat Pravishya Toyam Girim Ujahara Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Doranta Viryo Vitatabhisandhibhi Kritvavapu Kachchapam Adbhutam Mahat Pravishatoyam Girim Ujahara Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Vidhim Tadeshwaro Durantya Viryo Vitatabhi Sandhihi Kritvavapu Kachapam Adbhutam Mahat Pravishyatoyam Girim Ujahara Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Dharantya Viryo Tabhi Sandhihi Kritvavapu Kachchapam Adbhutam Mahat Pravishyatoyam Girim Ujahara Matajis Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Daranta Viryo Vitatabhi Sandhihi Kritvavapu Kachchapam Adbhutam Mahat Pravishyatoyam Girim Ujahara Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Daranta Viryo Vitatabhi Sandhihi Kritvavapu Kachapam Adbhutam Mahat Pravishyatoyam Girim Ujahara Vilokya Observing Vigna The obstruction, the sinking of the mountain. Isha Vidhim, by the providential arrangement. Tada! Then, Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Durantavirya. Inconceivably powerful. Avitatta, infallible. Abhisandhihi, whose determination? Kritva, expanding. Vapuho, body. Kachapam, tortoise. Adbhutam, Wonderful. Mahat. Very great. Pravishya. Entering. Toyam. The water. Gidim. The mountain mandara. Ujahara. Lifted. Translation: seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimited, powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entering the water, and lifted the great Mandara Mountain. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is evidence that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme controller of everything. As we have previously described, there are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods, but neither of them are supremely powerful. Everyone has experienced that hindrances are imposed upon us by the supreme power. The demons regard these hindrances as mere accidents or chance, but devotees accept them to be acts of the supreme ruler. When faced with hindrances, therefore, devotees pray to the Lord. Tattenu kampam sosamikshamano bhujan evatma kritam vipakam. Devotees endure hindrances, accepting them to be caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and regarding them as benedictions. Demons, however, being unable to understand the supreme controller, regard such hindrances as accidental. Here, of course, the Supreme Personality Godhead was present personally. It was by His will that there were hindrances, and by His will, those hindrances were removed. The Lord appeared as a tortoise to support the great mountain. Shitir iha vupala tadetava tatishtati prishte. Taken from Jayadeva Goswami's prayers to the Dasavatar Stotra. The Lord held the great mountain on His back. Keshavadrita kurma sharira jaya jagadisha hare. Dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they can also be removed by Him. This is known to devotees, but demons cannot understand it. We're just hearing the appearance of one of the primary incarnations of the Personality of Godhead, Lord Kurma, in a very mysterious way. The Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts a non-human form. In one sense it's surprising, in another sense it's not surprising. Not surprising in the sense that everything comes from Him, so wherever there is something in this world, the spiritual counterpart exists within the Supreme. Just hearing a lecture of Prabhupada describing male-female attraction. And it's not just in the human species, it's in all species. So why? Where does that come from? It comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pleasure potency, and between them there is loving attraction. Unlimited loving attraction in this world is a reflection of that world, and so in all species of life there's male-female attraction. Then there's distortions, of course, but that attraction is there. So the principle is, the absolute truth is the reservoir of everything that exists, and so it's not surprising. Then on the other hand, it's surprising. In Queen Kunti's prayers, she refers to the fact that you bewilder people of this world when you appear in different forms, even when the Lord appears in a human-like form. they decry him, thinking him to be human, because he's human-like, but exactly the other way around. Humans are in the likeness of God. That's what Scripture teaches, that's what the Bible teaches. Man is created in the image of God. So when the Supreme Lord appears as Krishna or Rama, or other forms that are human-like, that's not a problem because he's the source of everything. He appears as a fish, he appears as a rishi, he appears as if a human, but we should understand he's not a fish, he's not a tortoise, he's not a rishi. He's performing, these are lila avatars, he's performing pastimes. Now that's not a point of emphasis in the purport, but it's certainly a very important understanding in relation to the Lord's appearance as a tortoise. In the word for word, or the vilokya. Vilokya, the first word in the verse is observing. So the observance was Mundra Mountain was sinking. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary says when he observed that, there was Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, processed what he saw. And then he understood what's the solution. He's the Supreme Lord, so he can create a problem, understand the nature of the problem, and bring a solution to the problem. In this case, a very merciful arrangement was he personally appeared to bring the solution to the problem that he created. When we see something, we don't necessarily understand what the problem is, but to speak of the solution to the problem. A key phrase that Prabhupada taught again and again, na te vidu svartikatim hi Vishnu, meaning na te vidu, they do not know. Vid means to know. This is vilokya, he sees, but people, when they see, pashati na pashati, although they see the problem, they don't see the problem. So the problem of life is, I want to have fun, and I'm not having fun, so I have to adjust things so I can have fun, or I can find happiness. This, you know, Prabhupada would expand that misunderstanding, like, extensively in his lectures to help his audience understand again and yet again and yet again and yet again the bewildering nature of Maya. And then the means of overcoming that bewildering nature of Maya, well, how does that come? It comes from hearing from one who knows the problem and the solution to the problem. In Bhagavad Gita, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam, this is an item of knowledge that people don't know, the problems of life. Even if you could solve all the other problems, imagine. It's not going to happen. But imagine that could happen. It's like, imagine so many things. Imagine a scholar that can count all the atoms in the universe. Ain't going to happen. But imagine that were to happen. You're such a scholar. They would not be able to understand the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead's glories, even if they had that capacity. So it's not going to happen. But supposing someone could solve all problems of life. By design, it's not problem-free, even if you're smart. But imagine, someone could solve all problems of life. There's four that would remain. Those are the real problems. And again and again, Prabhupada would teach, the human form of life is meant to know what the real problems are and how to solve them. So Krishna identifies, the Supreme Lord identifies what the real problem is and how to solve it. Of course, I had a discussion with one devotee yesterday. Why doesn't Krishna just take away the problem? I pray to Krishna, please take away my problems. And they stay. Anger, lust. This devotee was being very explicit about anger and lust and greed. And I pray to Krishna, please take these things away. And I've been doing that for a long time and they don't go away. Because we're implicated in Maya. We and the biblical saying is this, the spirit is strong and the flesh is weak. We're prone to attractions of the flesh. We're prone to sense gratification. And we're prone to the entangling situation, the very sources of our misery. We're attached to the sources of our misery. Even we may pray, please take them away. We're attached to the source of the misery, which is the tendency for sense gratification or the tendency for enjoying God's property, as if we're entitled to be the enjoyer of God's property without recognition of God. So please take the problems away. Please take the tendency away. There's 8 chapters of Kapiladev responding to that question of Devahuti, how to overcome this attraction for the impermanent. Not lack of information what the problem is or how to overcome it. It's a lack of determination. It's not just fold our arms across our chest and say, Krishna, please take my problems away. We're attached. We remain attached due to long conditioning. And therefore, because of that long conditioning, it's a gradual process. We earned our conditioning. We made zillions of choices to get us to where we are today. So it's not just a matter of snap your fingers, do a U-turn, and Krishna's your order supplier to take you out of your problems. Or even, you know, the tendency for those problems, the attachment to the sources of misery. Even we pray to Krishna, take away that attachment to the sources of my misery. He's not our order supplier. He is our well-wishing friend, for sure. But our determination must become strong. Just like this word that's in the verse, the second line. It's a very nice word. Avitata visandhi. Avitata means infallible. There's another word in Sanskrit that means infallible. It's one of the names of Krishna that means infallible. What's that other name? Infallible. He never falls. Achuta. There's us, we fall. Chuta. Ajita. Infallible. Similar, actually. Achuta. Ajita. He's infallible. And the second word is abhisandhihi, whose determination is infallible. So our determination is fallible because we're attached to other things other than Krishna. Our devotion isn't pure. Our devotion is mixed. We want relief from the misery, but we want to hold on to the source of the misery. We're mixed. It's pious, Krishna, it's good. You turn to Krishna for relief of for whatever it is that you want, akama, sarvakama, moksha kama, udarati, it's good. It's the sign of piety. It's a sign of accumulation of pious merit. And then we turn to Krishna for removal of those things. Then there's the teaching of Mahaprabhu that says, don't ask for something material. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundari, Kavitam, Ba, Jagadisha, Kamaye, Mama, Janmani, Jamani, Shari, Bhavatad, Bhakti, Rahaitiki, Twing. Even liberation, when Mahaprabhu is not asking for that, he's asking for Haituki Bhakti, because when Haituki Bhakti is there, liberation is already there. You don't have to ask for liberation. For that matter, we don't have to ask for anything, because Krishna already knows. So why do we pray if Krishna already knows? Because it's a process of devotional service. It's taking shelter of Krishna. So now going into the message of the purport, Prabhupada is describing difficulties and how a devotee views and how a non-devotee or demon views difficulties. The non-devotee views that it's chance, just coincidence. And then therefore I need to address the coincidence without acknowledgement of God. And a devotee recognizes there's sanction, at least, not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. So for the wind to blow that moves the blade of grass, that requires the sanction of the Supreme Lord, and etc., everything else you can think of. In the field of Prakriti, behind Prakriti there's Purusha, there's Supersoul. So nothing moves without the sanction of Supersoul. So naturally, if nothing moves without the sanction of Supersoul, then we tune into Supersoul channel and present ourselves with devotion to the Supreme Lord. And it certainly can be, please help me in this difficulty. Certainly in our conditioned state, that's natural. At least for a pious person, it's natural. And for the demon, it's the point he's making here. The response to difficulty is altogether different between the two. Trying to make myself powerful to deal, or clever, or resourced with different people who are going to help me deal with the difficulty. Now, those ABC things may be done by a devotee, but the devotee first and foremost turns to the Supreme Lord in face of difficulty. And who can say, well, in my life there's no difficulty? I'll give you some of mine if you don't have any. We all have some difficulties. Now, how to address that? So this is now a lila where the Supreme Lord sees the difficulty, vilokya. He understands the difficulty and understands the solution to the difficulty. So what does he do? In an appropriate manner, he assumes a tortoise form so he can then hold up the Mundur mountain that's sinking. And that's what's stated in the purport referring to Jayadev Goswami's glorification of the form of Kurma that appears. Kshiti iha pripulatare tava tishtati prishte. I'm going to read that. Translation. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. All glories to you. So now this line. The great Mundra mountain rests upon your gigantic back, which acts as a pivot for the churning of the ocean of milk. And then the next line, and which has thus been marked with large circular scar-like depression. So as the mountain was churning on his back, our acharyas say he had an itch, so he wanted to scratch his itch, and it was very practical. But this is specifically saying, as the mountain was churned back and forth, it made a depression in Kurma's back, in a circular motion, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The mountain was heavy. It made a depression, scar-like depression on his back. It's a pastime. He created an obstacle and then he removed the obstacle. So now what about us? So if we're devotees, or trying to be devotees, there's obstacles. And how to view those obstacles? Well, Prabhupada says it very clearly. It's, first of all, it's something arranged, or at least sanctioned, by the Supreme Lord for our purification and improvement in our spiritual lives. So we take it as a benediction. That's the second. Comes from the Supreme Lord. It's benedictory. Benedictory in the sense, just as Kunti says, and the explanation of her prayer, it's an impetus for taking deeper shelter of the Supreme Lord. And then in that deeper shelter, the Supreme Lord can, if he wants to, remove the difficulty. Doesn't have to. Like one of the things that comes to mind is Sanatan Goswami and the disease that he contracted when passing through the Jharkhand forest in order to go to Puri, and weeping sores, wet itches from his body, and problem, and whatever he saw as a solution to the problem, Lord Chaitanya nullified it, forbade him from doing this and that and the other thing, until all he was left with was shelter of the Supreme Lord. He had nowhere else to turn. Then Lord Chaitanya took the sores away by embracing him, which was the very reason why he wanted to either give up his life or go back to Vrindavan or this or that, to avoid Lord Chaitanya embracing him, because he didn't want to smear this yucky stuff on Lord Chaitanya's body. But then Lord Chaitanya took the problem away when it reached a crescendo. Krishna did a similar thing with the residents of Vrindavan when he allowed himself to be wrapped up in the coils of the Kaliya serpent. They were passing out, fainting in exasperation, wanting to enter into the Jamuna River to give up their lives. Fortunately, Balaram was there and he has strong arms, so he prevented them from entering into the Jamuna, that lake that was so poisonous they would have died instantly. Then Krishna recognized, oh, these residents of Vrindavan, they can't maintain their lives. I should get released from the Kaliya serpent. So he did. Krishna creates problems and then brings the devotees sometimes to the point of desperation. And then he doesn't have to, but he has the power to relieve. In this case, he does that. His determination is infallible. So when he decided to do something, who can stop him? Nobody can stop him. So that's the position of the devotee. When there's difficulty, we take shelter of the infallible. And if he so desires, and not otherwise, the difficulty can be addressed. Now we may do some practical thing. In this case, the Supreme Lord did a practical thing. He assumed the form of a tortoise. Very practical. Very appropriate for the circumstance, for the difficulty. And we may also take some practical measures, not just wait for the difficulty to go away. That's devotional service. So in devotional service, it's not a great, it's not the topmost position to pray, no difficulties, please. We can pray, no difficulties, please, or these particular ones, please remove these particular difficulties. That's okay, too. But for the transcendentalist, fully absorbed in Krishna, it's, please give me your shelter. Last little example, and then I'll end. Gajendra had a difficulty. And he fought to get the alligator or crocodile thing off his leg, and 100 years of struggling like that, and didn't let go. It's a long time. And then he realized, I'm finished. And so he then turned to the Supreme Lord, began offering his prayers to the Supreme Lord. And in the course of offering the prayers to the Supreme Lord, which were standard stotras or prayers, then became a spontaneous prayer. The spontaneous prayer said, I now realize that you will take care of the problem, and therefore I'm not asking you to relieve me of the problem. I'm asking you when I'm on the other side of the problem, please keep me always engaged in your devotional service. So the problem was relieved and he was liberated, given eternal devotional service. Although there was certainly a problem. The problem arose because of his offense to Agastya Muni as a king. Jiva Goswami explains, he offended Agastya Muni because of a previous aparad that he had created for himself, and this was the fruit of that previous aparad. He made another one, because just like sin, aparad has a tendency to repeat and repeat. So he repeated it. And he got a big problem. But the big problem turned out to be a benediction by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. That's where we place our faith or our shelter. That's the nature of bhakti. So, Bhagavatam is nurturing our bhakti at every step. Any discussion? Yes, Subal.
Rumash, I have a question, but also I think we have to cover the verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 in the reading. And then I have a question.
Okay.
Should I ask now?
Okay, I can read them.
My question is, when it comes to one's assigned a service by Guru and Krishna, and in the process of performing that service, one comes to an obstacle, like a very strong obstacle, that it could be from coming from oneself or from a relationship and things like that. When do we determine, or how do we determine to that maybe it's not the right situation?
And maybe the what?
It's not the right situation.
You consult. You consult. It's not blind. By introspection and analysis, you find it might not be the right situation. You consult.
Sometimes one have, there's a conflict of one should stay put.
Yeah, sometimes that, and sometimes modification of service. Consult. you know, continue to introspect, continue to evaluate or appraise the situation, and not just one thing, but you know, both things. Okay, here's text 4, 5, and 6. Text 4. Thus, the demons remain silent, opposing the desire of the demigod. Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the personality god had smiled. Without discussion, he immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snake, and the demigods followed him. Text 5. After thus adjusting how the snake was to be held, the sons of Kashyapa, both demigods and demons, began their activities, desiring to get nectar by churning the ocean of milk. Text 6. O son of the Pandu dynasty, when the Mandara mountain was thus being used as a churning rod in the ocean of milk, it had no support, and therefore, although held by the strong hands of the demigods and demons, it sank in the water. In text 7, because the mountain had been sunk by the strength of providence, the demigods and demons were disappointed, and their faces seemed to shrivel. Text 8 was this morning. Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara mountain. Anything else? Yes.
You made the point of the highest platform is just asking to be engaged in devotional service, not asking for relief from the miseries. It's kind of a reflection, kind of a question of, like, we have the opportunity to engage in devotional service, and this is what all these souls in Bhagavatam are praying for. We have this opportunity, but it's like right in front of us to do Sankirtan or to serve in the temple. So we have what everyone is asking for, but it seems like we're averse to it, or we don't want at times to engage. We're averse to fully engaging at least. So it's kind of a reflection question in a sense.
So this is an observation,
yeah,
not so much a question. It's because we're mixed. And sometimes it's more, and sometimes over on this side it's more. And somewhere in the middle, but we're mixed. So, what to do? Well, we perform the regulations of sadhana bhakti, and do so consciously. Consciously meaning the purpose behind the activity, starting with chanting and everything else. Invest in the bhakti principle, doing it, whatever it is, for Krishna. For strengthening our relationship with Krishna. We cultivate like that, strive like that, the bhakti principle, while we're doing, even with this mixed, we just cultivate over here. And consciously, also, we choose, we strive to choose, mightier mind and senses, please don't go into this briar patch of sense gratification. So, on the strength of bhakti, the mind and senses can be controlled, and thus, like wet wood becomes dry wood, can then become ignited by the fire of bhakti. Then we can become freed from that, you know, mix or struggle. But just when, as you were asking your question, something came to mind. The residents of Vrindavan, they're not mixed devotees. And when a demon comes, they take shelter of Krishna. A forest fire, or Ristasura, or something. They take shelter of Krishna. But it's not with selfish or self-preservation kind of intention. It's exactly as it's intended, an impetus to take shelter of Krishna. Obstacles or difficulties are seen differently. The shelter taking of Krishna is still there. The purpose behind the shelter taking is increased shelter taking. And from Krishna's side also, the difficulties are arranged for that purpose. You know, including, you know, separation. So the devotee would take the gopis or the cowherd boys or any, you know, they pray for Krishna's association. But part of that intensification of that prayer is separation. It's another difficulty. One of the pastimes before the killing of Dainikasura, it's mentioned that the cowherd boys would sometimes snatch the lunch from Madhu Mangal and run. And Madhu Mangal would chase them. Difficulty. And then they would laugh and throw his lunch to another cowherd boy. And he'd go running after that other cowherd boy. Give me my lunch. You're offending a brahmana. The platform in the pastimes of Krishna are altogether different, including dealing with difficulties. The gopis catching the cowherd boys in one of the storerooms stealing butter. It's a whole other platform. Whole other platform. So, if not, the spiritual world is utopia, there's no difficulty. Do you remember that reference that was during our time in Gita Nagari together? It was during the question and answer, maybe you weren't in the temple room. Huh? You were the one that asked the question, so remember the answer. Yeah. Even in Goloka, it's not utopia. Anything else? Yes, Sibal.
Guru Maharaj, if you can talk a little bit on in this particular pastime, when the Lord gives instructions to the demigods, the premise was, Prabhupada says, this philosophy of the mouse and the snake. And caught in a basket. So basically you have the whole idea was to deceive the demons.
Whole idea what?
To cheat the demons.
Defeat the demons.
Well, not defeat them, but actually how would you say deceive.
Deceive.
Yeah.
Deceive the demons. Okay.
It's almost like this. Sometimes we hear back in ISKCON there was the idea of by hook or by crook. You basically tell a lie or, you know, I mean, somehow or other get them to take. So, you know, it doesn't seem to be straightforward. It seems that the Lord is encouraging, you know, playing along with these cheating.
When the Supreme Lord does such things, it's on a platform altogether different when we do such things. He's just playing. It's Leela. And because it's from him, is faultless. It's just reciprocation with their regard for him and their pride, and he could smash them. He could, you know, create unlimited universes without blinking and destroy them without blinking, effortlessly. So it's just a pastime. Playing. Lilo. And we can't imitate. We can't assume a form of a tortoise. We can't swallow an ocean of poison. And we can't do things that Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva do. We should not imitate. But if told to do so, we do so. Yudhisthira, being instructed by Krishna. That's the standard of dharma is what's given by the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. He says you do, that's dharma. And then the impossible becomes possible. That which is beyond human capacity can be done. By empowerment, with faith in the instruction to do so. We certainly that principle we have to be very careful. No cheating. Krishna told me so. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.